Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 € pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's The Recovering Gleek, a Glee podcast. When Lena and I first decided to make this podcast, we quickly realized we had literally zero idea of how to make that happen. Thankfully, a friend of ours recommended the podcasting platform Anchor. Anchor is free. It has all of the tools you need to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. You can even add songs from Spotify into it. And the absolute most amazing thing about Anchor is that they will distribute your podcast for you. So anywhere that you listen to Recovering Gleek, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever weird third-party app you're using, it is there because Anchor put it there. And the icing on the cake is that you can make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership. All you have to do is record an ad, which is why I am recording an ad right now, because I want money very badly. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I want to drive away with you. I want your complications too. I want your mini Mondays. Wrap your arms around me, mini Gleek. I got off the melody at the end there. I got too excited.
I honestly, I've never heard that song in my life, but it sounds pretty exciting.
Honestly, it's by an artist I think you might like. Her name is Baylor Mift.
Baylor Mift. I know, I've she's never heard of Baylor Mift before.
Oh, she's a little underground. Just like kind of, I don't know. One thing I know about myself is that I'm really in touch with the music scene. I really have my finger on the pulse. I really know who the hot artists are and what their songs are.
That's so true. Who else is the hot artist of the time? Tell me, I know nothing.
We got Big Nass Y.
That took me a second.
The thing is, I genuinely don't know who the big artists are, so I like can't super do this bit. We got I'm trying to think of a way to say this. We got BRB. We got Phoebe Overpass. Overpasses. I literally Googled a synonym for bridge. Anyways, shout out to Rachel. Thank you for suggesting Paper Rings by Baylor Mift.
Baylor Mift, maybe we should hang out sometime.
Yeah, Baylor Mift, you want to be on the pod? Come check us out.
No, listen, I would never, ever want to just meet Baylor Mift.
That's true. Baylor Mift has to see you as Elphabet in Wicked.
That's the only way I ever want to meet Baylor Mift. I don't think I could possibly handle it. I also have, like, along with this vision of Baylor Mift coming to see me in Wicked, I have this nightmare, like, you know, other side to the coin of this vision, where, like, someone is like, oh, Baylor Mift is here. And I like have a panic attack mid-show and I'm like, So listen, if you happen to be in Wicked the Musical with me while I'm playing Elphaba and Baylor Mift is in the audience, you better not freaking tell me. Keep it to yourself.
One of my least favorite things is finding out that someone important is in the audience halfway through a show.
Totally.
Because if I know from the beginning, I can mentally prepare myself. And if I find out after, I'm like, you know what,
yeah,
whatever.
Totally.
But when it's partway through the show, then I'm like, what kind of show have I been doing so far?
Yeah, you're like overanalyzing everything. And then
I don't have time to like mentally prepare myself. So then every time I get on stage, I'm like, well, now if I was bad at the beginning, I have to make up for it now because Baylor Mift is in the audience.
Baylor!
And as we all know, Baylor Mift does frequent the Utah Shakespeare Festival.
That's the thing is, Baylor Mift, if you're at the Utah Shakespeare Festival, I guess I will invite you backstage. I would but like it to be
tell
wicked.
Her until after the show's over.
Totally. But I guess if you're seeing Pirates of Penzance retroactively, you can come backstage.
True.
You guys, can you tell we're in person today?
Oh my gosh, that's right. This is weird again. We're in person, we're baby. Person. Let's Woo. Touch hands. Bing. Wow.
Wow. Can you believe you guys?
Hi, what's up? My name is Ian Allred. I am in person. I'm staring into Lena Knatzer's beautiful baby blues, and I am a mini gleek.
Hey, what's up, you guys? My name is Lena Knatzer, and I'm a mini gleek who is staring right into the green eyes of my buddy Ian Allred. I know they're green. I was just trying to figure out something funny to say.
I mean, also, they're like a little hazily, so sometimes they do look brown, so like you would be justified in that.
No, I know your eyes are green.
But I'm wearing a green shirt today, so they're popping.
They're popping. I'm wearing black today, so my eyes are just normal.
Yeah, even the whites are gone. Like, the whole thing is just black.
Yeah.
It's just like two empty, like, black holes on your face.
Yeah, well, my eyes change colors depending on what I'm wearing, and when it's I'm wearing black, it just looks like sclera lenses.
Mm-hmm.
I had something to say. I totally forgot.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. It wasn't important anyway. Are you so excited to talk about Big Brother?
Yeah, Big Brother, CBS's hit reality show. spoiler alert, that's what we're talking about this week, everyone, on the mini-sode.
Listen, I loved Big Brother growing up. I remember my whole family was very obsessed with Big Brother, and we would all watch it together. And there was a period in high school, especially when Big Brother was on, that I like subscribed to a bunch of like, not, I didn't subscribe to the live feeds. If you know Big Brother, you know that you mm-hmm. like subscribe to like mm-hmm. the live feeds of all the cameras. I didn't subscribe to those because I don't have any money. I didn't then, I don't now. But I used to like follow a bunch of Twitter accounts and like put notifications on that all watch the feeds and like live tweeted the feeds all day long.
Honestly, that's more interesting because you don't have to waste time like watching someone sleep.
Absolutely. That's the thing. But I remember distinctly one season when I was like 17 years old, when I kind of like caught a whiff of the grossness of Big Brother, but mm-hmm. that I didn't kind of understand before that, where I was like, oh no.
Our table.
It's broken. No, for real. But like, they have sex in the house.
Yeah.
And that's too scary to me. And like, the live feeds cut out when like they are doing inappropriate stuff. But like, the whole idea that I'm watching someone live like that mm-hmm. and like, these are human people with like sexual desires as well. I was like, I'm out.
Yeah.
So I totally stopped watching Big Brother for that because I learned that people are people.
I never watched Big Brother because I'm too much of a Survivor loyalist.
Totally.
And which is stupid because they're fully on the same stations. Like, they're not really competing, no. But I just like feel like it's a betrayal. The thing I like about Survivor is that your basic needs are taken away so much that your body goes into fight or flight and you lose all sexual desire. So no one's banging on the island because their bodies are literally like, we are so hungry. We cannot be horny. Like,
there were people who were making out.
Oh, no. In Micronesia season 16, Amanda and Ozzy fully do have sex. The producers and the editors really try to like hide the fact. They just kind of like hinted it.
Ozzy?
Oh, yeah. Fully. Ozzy's a horn dog.
Ozzy, I hate that.
Ozzy fully has an OnlyFans.
No way.
He does.
That's good for Ozzy. But I sound like such a fucking prude. I don't know why I sound like this today.
But if you read interviews with people who are on that season, they're like, one of them talks about an interviewer asked him a question that was like, what's like the wildest thing that happened on the island that you that like fans don't know about? And she says, loud sexual partners is what she says. And essentially, like, they could not sleep because these two horn dogs who are like starving, have not showered in weeks, are going
at it. They don't brush their
it.
Teeth. How do they kiss? That's the thing, is on Cook Islands, when they start kissing, I was like, you know, they haven't brushed their teeth in like 40 days.
Well, you would not to make this a Survivor podcast, but you should watch.
I would love that.
You should watch Millennials versus Gen X. I think that's season 33.
Okay, I will.
Because there's a girl named Michaela, and that's what she talks about. There's like two people on the tribe have like a little showmance. They never do anything more than kiss.
Yeah.
But it shows them kissing. He goes to a confessional with her, and she like can't get over the fact. She's like, you have not brushed your teeth in like 8 days. and now you're kissing each other. That is disgusting.
No, for real. I love that. Well, I am looking for new things to watch because I did finish Squid Games.
Squid Games.
I only have one episode left of You season 3. So
dang. Well, everyone watch Survivor, the new season. Honestly, I'm having a great time. The cast is fantastic.
We hung out yesterday and I got in your car and you were like, why are you watching Survivor? And I was like, I'm sorry.
Well, you got in my car and I was fully listening to Survivor podcast.
I know, quickly paused it.
Because I didn't want it to spoil anything for you.
You're so nice in the hopes that I might watch it. You'd be like, are you ready to talk about Big Brother?
On CBS, let's do it.
Well, you know, I watched Big Brother, but I'm just kidding. Okay, well, speaking of, why don't we kick this episode off with a message from Enemy of the podcast, motherfucking Alex Allred.
All right. Alex says, dear little brother, I was aware of Noodle the dog, so there. Love, Big Brother. On CBS.
Listen, you told me you guys don't refer to each other as little brother, big brother. Interesting. What are you, a liar?
Yeah, caught in a lie. What can I say?
Well,
caught in a lie.
Thanks so much for your message. It was so insightful. Glad to know. Up next, we have a message from Lindy.
All right. Lucky Lindy says, hey, Lena and Ian, my name's Lindy, she, her, and I have so many thoughts about the Quinn plotline in this episode. I am someone who was paralyzed from the waist down temporarily as a kid, so I feel like I'm fairly qualified to speak on this topic. In an attempt to keep this email spoiler-free, you're welcome, Alex, I will be emailing again with more thoughts after the prom episode. The way that everyone in this freaking episode feels the need to remind Quinn that she's probably never going to walk again is horrible. I'm sure that Quinn's doctors are keeping her informed on the reality of her situation, and she knows that she may or may not ever walk again. Why, whenever Quinn is trying to be hopeful, do all of her friends feel the need to squash it? I've seen with my own eyes the way that hope can help recovery. If someone has no hope that they will walk again, they simply will not. Regaining that strength is a tremendous undertaking, and if you don't think you can do it, you won't be able to. The Glee Club this episode, especially Artie, are potentially destroying any chance Quinn has at walking again, and that really pisses me off. Anyway, love you guys. Expect to hear a lot more from me about this storyline. Consensual forehead kisses. Bye.
Lindy, thank you so much for this message. I so look forward to hearing your thoughts on the prom episode as well. That's super interesting to hear all of this. But yeah, that's such a messed up thing. You know, like to be going through something and like have hope for like a certain outcome and for your friends to be like, well, I don't want you to get your hopes up. It's like, that's not your job.
Mm-hmm.
Your job is to like be there for you, you know? And like, if it doesn't work out the way they want it to be there for them. I don't know. It's just like not a good friend thing to do, I feel like.
Yeah. Also like, I don't know. Hope is like what helps people get through hard times.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the person, as much as, you know, we don't like him, I do think the person who handles the situation the best is the gust of wind, Joe. I don't know. It's when Quinn is having her own internal monologue as she's pushing her wheelchair herself down the hall.
Right. She's monologues.
I mean, like, Joe still is kind of like, you may not walk again.
Yeah.
But at least he is like, I am just like praying and hoping for you to like be happy with like whatever happens.
Sure.
And like make peace with it. Whereas other people are like, hey, Quinn, you're delusional and it's not going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Totally.
Come on.
Lindy, thanks for this message. I look forward to hearing your other messages as well. Oh my gosh. Wait, hold on. Wait, this Google Doc has been hacked. There's another message from Alex in here. Oh my gosh, he's typing it right now. What's going on?
Enemy of the podcast, Alex Allred.
What
says,
are you doing, Alex?
he says, dear little brother, honest confession, I had simply seen a TikTok once of that guy picking up the dog to see if it was a bones day or not. I had no concept of the cultural significance of that and had no idea what Lena was talking about when she said it was a bones day. So I did indeed need the explanation. Love, Big Brother on CBS. Alex, thank you for your honesty. Thank you for being open and vulnerable with us.
Wow.
That takes a lot of
courage.
Bravery, courage to admit that you're wrong.
Yeah.
To totally. Admit that you're an idiot and that you defamed my character in front of all of our listeners. That takes a lot of bravery. So yeah, totally. I salute that. Hats off to you.
I love these messages because they came in like one after the other, like within minutes of each other. Like you could tell he like was
that he like planned the bit.
It's so funny. Well, Alex, I'm glad that I could explain to you what a bone stay is, even though these messages are not addressed to me at all. So I feel like I'm looking in on something here. Alex, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next time, enemy of the podcast. Up next, we have a message from Robbie.
Hey, Lena and Ian. My name is Robbie, he, him, and I'm from Long Island.
We pre-read these emails together. Every time we referred to you, Robbie, we'd say, you know, Robbie, from Long Island.
From Long Island. Okay, I have to tell you, the reason this is so funny to me, Robbie, we are going to read your email, I promise. So, when I was in high school, heads up, the Ellen DeGeneres app had just come out and it was everywhere.
Cultural reset.
Exactly.
It
honestly,
still is so good.
If that app is fun.
I know. Every time I go to Disneyland.
Yes. It's the perfect thing to do in the line. So, one of the heads up games is accents and it will like say an accent and then the person has to the accent and then you guess what it is. Like, the whole deal is that like, you know, they aren't supposed to know what accent you're doing. They have to guess it. And one time the accent was Long Island. And my friend, exactly like that, said, I'm from Long Island. It's like, which, dude, first of all, was a bad accent. And then two, we were like, Hannah, you can't say what it says on
it's
the
like,
phone.
Oh, are you doing a Long Island accent? It's like, yeah, she can't.
And so then every time we played Heads Up, anytime it said Long Island, we just go, I'm from, and then the person would be like, oh, Long Island.
Oh, that's funny.
So when you wrote out verbatim, I'm from Long Island, I couldn't resist.
Oh, that's so funny.
Oh, God. My name is Robbie, he, him, and I'm from Long Island. Okay. I'm going to try not to send a whole thesis, but I don't know if I can fit all of my points in one email. First point. I finally caught up on the podcast. Woo! I've binged an entire year of this podcast in about a month.
Woo! Oh my gosh.
Because you guys are hilarious and spiraled me back into my awkward Glee phase to the point where all of my friends, even the ones that watch Glee, want me to shut up about Glee.
Don't clap for that.
I was clapping for Robbie being in his awkward Glee phase, not for his friends telling him to stop talking
Robbie,
about
it. Robbie, this is me, not your friends. Just kidding. Love you, friends.
I mostly listen at work, and I may have gotten in trouble for ignoring my boss's call because I was listening to the podcast and not the phone ringing. Heck.
Ignore your responsibilities!
Second point, the Buffy long con worked. I've cracked, and I started to watch Buffy, and I'm currently on season 2.
Yay!
I've only met Willow for about a week now, and I pray nothing bad ever happens to her. And I cannot wait for the Buffy podcast, especially when I have complicated feelings about season 1. Third point. You mentioned the 7-week hiatus on the Glax, but the way that Fox promoted that 7-week hiatus is a Glee core memory that haunts me. After the accident happens on My Way, I remember the screen going black and the words "to be continued" airing on the screen. And instead of a promo for the next episode, there was a title card that said something like "Glee will return in 7 weeks." And that was it. Ugh. I wanted to find this title card so badly, but it wasn't on the sacred text nor Tumblr. We didn't even get a promo for weeks until we got a super dramatic one hinting that the whole next episode was a Quinn aftermath centric episode. And that simply was not the case. Now imagine my surprise and annoyance when that 7-week hiatus ended and the result of a major cliffhanger of Quinn in a car accident becomes the C-plot, and the main plot was about Blaine's out-of-nowhere brother. Granted, we should have seen this coming anyway because the writers hate Quinn Fabre with a burning passion, and I think either Ryan Murphy or Diana Agron spoiled Quinn's fate early to probably hint that the storyline wasn't even a major deal or had massive stakes. Well, thank you so much for reading this message. Sorry if there were any grammar issues. I went out on a no bones day and I got my fingers slammed by a car door.
No.
Don't worry, everything is fine and not fractured. I'm a huge fan of the show and I hope you guys are doing well. Consensual forehead kisses to you both and tell British Tony I say hi. Rob. P.S. Do you think Matt Bomer and Redacted ever heard the squeaky door when they had sex?
Listen, I get the sense that that squeaky door has been around as long as the apartment complex has been around.
Honestly.
Some people were like giving us advice on like how to fix a squeaky door.
You're like, you don't understand. This is not an apartment that you try and fix.
No.
It's an apartment that you just kind of deal with.
Yeah. Or you burn it to the ground. They absolutely did.
Yes. Yeah. No. If there's one thing I know about the squeaky door, it's that he's a voyeur. He's a peeping Tom. That was honestly the main thing he talked about. We just never brought it up because we want this to be a family podcast.
Yeah, that's the thing. And, you know, I'm just not comfortable with that kind of stuff and talking about that. And, you know.
Anyways, Robbie, that promo is bonkers.
I know. Oh my gosh.
So for those who have not seen it, you can just find it on YouTube. It is like 90% of it is just like Rachel quotes. It's Rachel being like, I'm really worried about Quinn. I'm so sorry. This never should have happened. It's all my fault. Like just Rachel stuff taken out of context to make it sound like Quinn is dead. My favorite thing about it, though, like they are fully trying to make us believe that Quinn is dead.
Totally.
They take the shot of Emma and Will going to Sue's baby sex reveal, like sitting in the waiting room. And they put it in the promo as if they're at like the ICU.
Totally.
With Quinn like dying in the other
room.
And
the thing is, I had to like go back and look at the promo just to like pause it on that. They all look so uncomfortable and like so nervous. Like not like they're at like a baby appointment at all. So.
And that's what's so funny is like whoever edited that promo fully knew that Quinn was just going to sing I'm Still Standing within the first 30 seconds.
I know.
And then there was going to be like an upbeat, fun episode with Matt Bomer. Like, why did they go so hard on that promo?
I don't know. But honestly, they deserve cash money because it is scary.
It is.
I wonder why. Was it just to like get people to watch?
I think it was to get there. I think, honestly, I think that Quinn getting hit by a car probably was a ratings grab.
Yeah.
Because Glee was slipping in season 3.
Yeah.
And they were like really trying to get people to watch with that promo.
Absolutely.
Because dang, honestly, if I had stopped watching Glee and then I heard that Quinn got killed off, I probably would have tuned into the next episode to see what happened.
Absolutely.
Well,
heck.
Robbie, thanks for that message. British Tony says, hello, mate. And you know who else says hello? Long Island Tony.
Wait, there's two Tonys?
Yeah, they're going to duke it out. It's who's the superior Tony, British Tony or Long Island Tony?
Oh my gosh, tune in next week.
Tune in next week where the minisode is just me doing a long form improv as British and Long Island Tony.
I will not be there.
The bit doesn't get stale. It stays fresh and funny for the whole 2 hours.
Absolutely. And listen, I probably won't speak during the episode, but I'll be like in the room. Like moral support. And I'll be the laugh track. That sounds so funny. Like the idea of like you just like doing like a comedy hour and then just you hearing me going, ah,
let's do it.
I get like a guest star credit on your Netflix special. Again, Robbie, thank you so much. Up next, we have a message from Molly.
Hey, friends, it's Molly, she, her, a listener of Recovering Gleek, gorgeous podcast. I have some thoughts about my boy Darren in reference to something Lena said that she wasn't sure would be kept in the episode, but I'm so glad that it was. The fact that Darren wasn't in the show when it was satirical and ridiculous on purpose is such a shame, considering his whole shtick is campy and poignant musical satire. His Big Break, a Harry Potter musical, which he co-wrote, wrote the songs for, and starred in, is a perfect example of musical satirical comedy that is so fun and so funny. And his newish show, Royalties, is another musical satirical comedy, but I haven't been able to watch it because it is extremely hard to find. And his recent EP, Masquerade, is all about embracing funky, over-the-top characters. Basically, he was born for season 1 of Glee. I also think he was born for Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, but that unfortunately also did not happen. I find he did a great job in this episode conveying the ridiculousness. It makes me think of later seasons, where the show goes really off the rails into unintentionally funny, over-the-top ridiculousness. It seems like he and some other cast members, notably Jenna and Kevin, start playing even some of the serious scenes as if they are subtly satire, which I just think is the most beautiful act of rebellion. My smoking hot take this email is that Darren Criss was, dare I say it, wasted on this show, in the sense that he didn't get to use his talent for satirical acting and writing like the original cast did. Plain Blanderson might have been less plain and bland had the show remained satirical after the introduction of our favorite warbler. I, of course, agree that he was the complete opposite of Wasted in terms of singing, as you guys have expressed, though I can't complain about that because I'm deeply in love with him, despite being gay. Any hoosers, I hope my take didn't burn your eyes as you just read it. Go spread some glee, consensual kisses all around. Thanks for making me a fighter. Love, Molly.
Molly, thank you so much.
I don't think this take is that hot, frankly.
I think this take is just hot enough for me.
It is like a nice soup, you know?
Totally.
Where it like warms you up, but definitely. You're not like, ooh.
Yeah, it like, you know when you eat soup and it like, you're like, it's not too bad in your mouth and you drink it really fast and then it starts a bonfire in your chest? It's not like that.
I agree. I think Darren Criss is like so incredibly talented.
Absolutely.
And I think Blaine is so boring and has nothing to him.
I know. And it's so sad because like you said, Molly, and like we've said before, he's like used on this show, mm-hmm. but he is just like the voice. He's just that magical throw to him.
Well, it's frankly, it's like Chris Hemsworth before Thor Ragnarok.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh my gosh, absolutely.
Chris Hemsworth is like so talented. No shade to his abilities that Thor, in our opinion, was kind of a boring character. But then like thankfully Thor Ragnarok happened and now he is just like so fantastic in the role. Mm-hmm. Sadly, Blaine's Ragnarok never really happened on this show.
Let's give him one.
Blaine Ragnarok, it's Blaine an Ragnarok. Episode in the reboot. It's where Blaine becomes interesting and fun.
He's like just so funny. He gets a wild haircut.
Mm-hmm. But and it's finally it's the like opposite. He like puts on a wig that's like super yes. long instead of getting
I
his haircut.
Love that. Oh, Chris Hemsworth, so good. Which is so funny because the moments I remember from like the original like Thor's, not that whatever. Are like the moments where he's funny. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like him throwing a beer on the ground. Like yeah, that's what like I remember.
Him
you know?
Not knowing what to do with Mjolnir and like putting it on the umbrella.
Exactly.
Rack.
Like that's so funny.
Which that was Chris Hemsworth. He exactly. just ad-libbed that.
I love Chris Hemsworth.
He's the best. Seriously. Chris Hemsworth, are you a Gleek? Come on our podcast.
Oh my gosh, I would love that. Chris Hemsworth, love you. Molly, thank you so much for this. I love this. And I think that's so, it's so true that like, Darren Criss like made his whole career on like musical satire mm-hmm. and then like was put on this show just to be a singer like yeah. and they totally didn't even let him do what he wants to do and that sucks. Molly, thanks so much for this message. Up next, we have a message from Madeline.
Hello, babies. I was very surprised that you didn't bring up the fact that Will is making a huge deal about how Sue is being too hard on the kids during booty camp. As if he didn't berate Mercedes to her face about how she's lazy, she's not working hard enough, she can't sit out because she hurt her ankle, she can't sit out because she's sick, she shouldn't be throwing up. Like, what the fuck, Will? I guess, like, he maybe learned his lesson when three members quit because he was being a nightmare person, but, like, take a hard look in the mirror, bitch.
Bitch.
Honestly, Madeline, hard agree. Will Schuster is meaner than Tabitha. Mm. I'll say it until the day I die.
Meaner than Tabitha.
It's your, yeah, no, it's so no, stupid. So right. yeah. Like, get off your high horse, Willie. Like, oh, you made these kids sad and uncomfortable. You're such a bad person. Will, you, made you three drove three quit. Of them into the arms of a freaking
a
like
sex offender,
sex criminal, Shelby Corcoran. So let's,
yeah, let's take a little seat. Okay,
yeah, come on.
The thing that I hate so much about this show that makes me so angry is like you said, Madeline. Maybe he learned his lesson. There are so many things with this show that I could like maybe like mm-hmm. I can talk myself into believing.
Yeah,
you know, like all the time, like this, like I could be like, well, maybe he did learn his lesson, like the. Those three are back, but it's like, we didn't see that. We don't mm-hmm. know that he learned his lesson. And what it is like, they just don't, especially with Will, have like no consistent character for yeah. him. I'm pissed.
Yeah. It's dumb.
It's dumb. Madeline, thanks heaps for your message. Up next, we have a message from Riley.
Hey, Ian and LPC. My name is Riley, she, her, and I'm obsessed with the podcast, and I've been listening since the beginning of season one, so the fact that this is my first time messaging y'all is weird. But anyway, I love Big Brother, and y'all really helped me narrow down on why I love this episode. And it is because it feels like a season one episode. This episode is truly one of my favorites, and literally any time I watch this episode, I think of the time someone told Andrew Rannells that he should play Blaine's dad on Glee, and he got so angry. Here's the full quote. Quote, some girl wrote me, I think you should be on Glee. You could play Blaine's dad. And I respond. I mean, I don't generally respond, but I wrote back. I was like, you got a lot of fucking nerve. To a child, I'm sure. Blaine's dad, are you out of your goddamn mind? I was just filled with rage. And I was like, that means I'm also Matt Bomer's father. I was so pissed. And I had friends over at the time. They were like, don't write her back. Don't write her back. I was like, no, I'm writing her back. So mad to be Matt Bomer's father. Unquote. Andrew Rannells, 2014. Consensual forehead kisses, Riley.
I love Andrew Rannells.
He is... he is so, so funny.
Did you ever watch the side-by-side with Susan Blackwell of the Falsettos cast on Thanksgiving?
No.
Oh my gosh, you need to. Andrew Rannells is so funny in it.
Also for context, Matt Bomer is fully a year older than Andrew Rannells.
That is so funny.
Andrew Rannells is the best. This, I'm sorry, this has like nothing to do with this quote, but it does have to do with Andrew Rannells. Have you heard about the drama between him and the guy who played Rich in Be More Chill?
No.
So Andrew Rannells was talking about how he went to like Broadway Con, and he saw these two guys who were dressed as Marvin and Whizzer from Falsettos, which is the character that Andrew Rannells played and then Christian Borle played in that show. And Andrew Rannells... like mentions in the talk show that he grew up as a nerdy theater kid and he saw those two kids at Broadway Con and it was like such a nerdy thing, but like so amazing, you know? Gerard Conoco, who plays Rich and Be More Chill. No shade. Neither of us have been on Broadway, but like Be More Chill.
I've walked the streets.
Yeah, but like Be More Chill, as far as I know, is like his first Broadway role. Andrew Rannells is like very well established. It's essentially like, you know, David throwing a pebble at Goliath.
Yeah,
like
totally.
He's just like really trying to attack this person who like doesn't know who he is. He posts this long thing on his Instagram about how it makes his blood boil to see Andrew Rannells bullying theater kids and putting them down and like, how dare you forget where you came from? Stop judging. Stop rolling your eyes. Stop implying that because people are dressing up as their favorite character from a scene in a show they love, that they are losers. That is the exact opposite thing we should be doing. And then he posted a picture of Andrew Rannells' headshot that he like found online. And he wrote on it, dead serious, big red letters, canceled, you judgmental fuck.
You judgmental fuck.
I think like the two kids, because I think like Andrew Rannells like took a picture with them or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the two kids he posted a picture of them had to like come out and be like, we're not offended. No. Like, we thought it was, like, fun and cool. Like, just sit down, stop trying to, like, fight our battles for us. Canceled, you judgmental freak. Go play Blaine's dad. Go play Matt Bomer's dad on Glee, Andrew.
That is so... I had never heard of that. Has Andrew Rannells, like, responded to it?
I don't think so. I think he is, like, this is ridiculous. I'm not gonna like...
He's like, I was on the TV show Girls with Adam Driver. Get fucked!
I'm Matt Bomer's dad. I don't need this.
You judgmental freak. That's like... See,
and the headshot is like black and white too. Canceled! You judgmental freak.
Like, obviously that's the Instagram like...
Yeah, the like font.
Yes,
the, like typewriter
you.
Font.
Oh my gosh, I'm obsessed with that.
Incredible. Well,
Thank you for bringing that quote to our attention, Riley. Yeah. Incredible. He's the best.
I love it. This is an Andrew Randall's fan cast.
So for real, Andrew Randall's, you probably are a Gleek. Do you want to come on the podcast?
No, we'd love for to have real. You on. I love Andrew Randall's. I would talk to him for hours. Ugh. Riley, thank you so much. Up next, this is our last one, you guys.
Ba-da-ba-ba-bow.
We have a message from Lauren.
Hi, Lena and Ian. Once again, this is Lauren, she, her from Canada.
International listener!
Okay, so here's an unpopular opinion. I had really high hopes for this Quinn storyline when it first aired. It was actually quite possibly the Glee storyline that I found most intriguing up to this point. I was in the midst of a master's program in occupational therapy, and at the time, my career plan was to work with teens and young adults with physical disabilities. I had actually just started my master's when Glee premiered in 2009, and so my classmate slash housemate and I actually initially tuned into Glee through the lens of disability slash accessibility representation on TV. Unsurprisingly, we were not overly impressed, but admittedly not nearly as unimpressed as we would have been if this show aired in 2021. Mm-hmm. I think part of the reason I pursued occupational therapy was because my friend group in undergrad consisted of multiple wheelchair users. This was not a friend group we ever saw represented in the media. If there was a wheelchair user on a TV show or movie, they were almost always the token wheelchair user. The character was also almost always a cis straight white man. The idea of two members of the Glee Club being wheelchair users was so exciting to me and my friends. It goes without saying that we didn't like the fact that neither character was portrayed by a disabled actor, nor did we like the convoluted storyline that led to Quinn's disability. But the exploration of Artie and Quinn's different perspectives on disability, the different places they were each at emotionally, based in part by on how recently they acquired their spinal cord injuries, etc., was actually, at least for this one episode, a lot richer than I thought this show had the capacity for. The problem with tokenism is that a character ends up having to represent an entire group of people, and it doesn't allow the opportunity to explore diversity of experience and perspective. I have friends who have very different opinions about how their disability is a part of their identity, or even the language they use to describe their disability. I.e. some friends prefer identity-first language like disabled person, while others prefer person-first language like person with a disability. There are people who are born with their disability or have been disabled since they were very young, and people who acquire it later in life, and this can lead to different experiences too. I really wish the show had recognized the opportunity they had to explore this further and, spoiler alert, not just use Quinn's apparently temporary disability as a plot device. Also, and keep in mind, I myself am not a wheelchair user, and so if you have anyone else writing in to speak on this from personal experience, that is far more valuable than anything I have to say. But I did want to mention that songs like I'm Still Standing are top of the list on karaoke nights with a few of my wheelchair-using friends. And I've had deep conversations with one friend about this, and he has shared that when he senses that people around him are not sure how to talk to him or are generally uncomfortable about his disability, he likes cracking jokes or doing something ironic like that to break the ice. Or for shits and giggles to make people feel even more uncomfortable because at least then he has an agency over it and it's kind of empowering. Obviously, not everyone has the same sense of humor, but I can absolutely see a character like Artie singing that song. I also think it fits that Quinn would perform that number to prove to people that she is okay while in denial about how she's actually feeling about her situation. So that whole number seemed very realistic to me, like very realistic. To the point where I was kind of surprised the first time I heard someone comment about how it was problematic. I will even go so far to say that the writers slash directors might have even understood what they were doing here, because the other members of the Glee Club look hella uncomfortable during that number, while Artie and Quinn were all smiles and empowerment. That said, it is cringeworthy for other reasons entirely when you factor in that these are able-bodied actors doing this, so I'm not really defending the show here. Anyways, sorry this was so long. The long and short of it is that this storyline had so much potential, but, spoiler alert, the hope my friends and I had for it was eventually replaced by disappointment and a little bit of rage. And if that doesn't describe a Glee plotline, I don't know what does. P.S. To add to your Chris Colfer shipper story, Chris Colfer and Ashley Fink did a podcast together a couple months back, and Chris talked in detail about how Chris Colfer shippers terrorized his boyfriend. They found his email and signed him up for sketchy things on the internet. They called his boss and made up lies about him to get fired. And they sent clumps of hair to his mother in the mail. WTF. Chris talks very candidly about how this group terrorized him, and it is so upsetting. P.P.S. I'm so sad that you just missed out on podcasting about this episode directly from Matt Bomer's old apartment. Thank you for reading all of this and for doing what you do. Any day your podcast drops is a bones day.
Oh, Lauren. I love that. Did you know today is a bones day? Today
it is?
Saturday, October 23rd.
Oh. So for people in the audience that don't know what that means, namely Alex, could you describe what a bones day is?
I absolutely will not. But I'm literally so freaking upset. We were 1 week off from doing freaking Big Brother in Matt Bomer's old apartment. I'm upsetting
on Matt
spaghetti.
Bomer's old stain.
Seriously, we could have done it on a bed. Come we could have sat on like
on the bed,
on the bed
where they consummated their relationship.
Dude,
we are so awful.
We're gonna fry in hell. Oh, Lauren, thank you so much for this message. I really appreciate your perspective, Lauren. I really appreciate this message. And I think even like seeing the perspective of like, I'm still standing being something that like a wheelchair user would find funny is really interesting because like, that's obviously not something that I understand, but I do. I think like you said, Lauren, like when you factor in that these are able-bodied actors doing this, I think it's still kind of gross. You know what I mean? I mean, like, if these were, like, two wheelchair-using actors, then I could, like, I think fully get behind it and be like, oh my gosh, yeah, this is great. But that's the thing is, it's, like, it's Ryan Murphy being like, see, it's funny. It's like, can you make jokes about something that you don't fully understand? I don't know. You know what I mean? So I really appreciate this message.
Yeah, and I love, 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 love your thoughts on tokenism.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
And yeah, it just sucks that like so many characters on this show are token characters in the sense that they like Mercedes is like the one black character because heaven knows that Matt never spoke.
Right.
And then like Artie up until this point was like the token disabled character. Mm-hmm. And then like Santana is the token Latinx character. And then we have, like, freaking Mike and Tina, like, great opportunity for them to, like, you know, show different perspectives as Asian characters. And yet they're like, no, they're one token Asian because...
Yes, they have, like, formed into one person. Yeah, they have the same last name.
Exactly. Like, they are attached now. They are a single character. Yes. And we will treat them as one person.
Yes.
It's frustrating.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, I had never thought about... what you say about how this was such a great opportunity to essentially allow Artie to no longer be like the token disabled person.
Oh my gosh,
and be
yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Oh, here's another character who has a different perspective on it. And it does suck that they don't really ever do much with that.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Agreed.
Well, thank you so much, Lauren, for this message.
Honestly,
goodness sakes.
Thanks everyone for all of your messages this week. Honestly, this is what?
You finish. I'm about to say something that's stupid. So okay. You sound like you're going to say something sincere.
I am. Honestly, like I love doing this podcast. A, because I just love talking to my buddy. But I love hearing from other people and like their thoughts. And like, you know, like I was my memory is shoddy from my teenage years. I don't remember the promos. But someone being like, oh, this is what happened in the promo. Like that just adds so much to the whole thing. And I really appreciate people reaching out and telling us like, what they remember from the Tumblr years. I appreciate people like sharing their perspectives. I just love doing these freaking mini-sodes. Oh my gosh, they fill my heart.
And who would have known that in the Glee fandom, there were so many friends of Big Brother on CBS? That was my stupidity that I was going to say. It's made much more stupid now that it's following that.
I love that. Woohoo! Are you ready to play the relative pitch game?
Heck yeah! Heck yeah. I'm Still Standing by Elton John. Hungry Like the Wolf / Rio by You Don't Have to Like Duran Duran, Just Love Me. Fighter by Christina Aguilera. Uh-huh. Up, Up, Up by The Givers. Uh-huh. By Givers. Sorry, no though. Somebody That I Used to Know by Gotye featuring Kimbra.
I love Kimbra. Okay. You went first last week. I think I'm going first this week.
That's correct. Yes, you are going first.
Perfect. What am I singing?
Goodness sakes, what are you singing? Honestly, sing I'm Still Standing.
Oh, great. You can never know what it's like. Your blood like the winter freeze is just like ice. And the cold shines from you. You are...
Thank
excuse. I'm gonna. Don't you know that I'm still standing better than I ever did? Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. I'm still standing after all this time.
Quinn Fabray?
Who? Quinn. Okay.
Okay, so that the I'm on I'm Still Standing was an A flat. Directly on pitch, baby.
I love myself. Well, what are you gonna sing?
Not up to me, pal.
Yeah. Well, let's see. I think we can't do an episode with somebody that I used to know and not have you sing it in the relative pitch game.
Okay. Now and then I think I'm going to go with that. All right. We're going straight out the gate. I'm not even going to think about it. Some reason, I'm doing the Kimber verse. So Blaney Days, here I come.
If that's the one you remember most.
Now and then I think of all the times you screwed me over. It is way too early for me to be singing this. But have me believing it was always something that I'd done. But I don't want to live that way. Reading into every word you say. You said that you could let it go. And I wouldn't catch you hung up on somebody that you used to know.
But you didn't have to cut me off. Ooh.
Why did we both become Kimbra?
Damn it! Because that's the one I sing always.
Okay. E flat. No. Which does it sound more like? No. I feel like it's in the middle of those two.
Yeah, I don't know how you do that.
I always end up a quarter pitch off, like in between two notes. No and then no. I'm gonna go with E flat. Okay. That's what I think I did for. Now and then I think of all the times you screwed me over. Okay. That was bad, but it's an E flat.
Ian from the future here. Upon further inspection, I'm pretty sure that was a D. Now and then I think of all the times you
screwed me over. Good news, everyone. I'm literally not even close.
Dang it.
Now and then. Was I seriously on an E flat? You guys, I don't want to tell you how off I was.
No, I want to hear.
I was like a minor sixth off. What? I mean, I was a major third flat.
Yes.
But frankly, I wasn't flat. I was sharp because I was singing higher than them. So that's like a minor sixth. That is.
How many keys is that?
1, 2, 3, 4. That is 4 steps off. Is that a new record?
I think so.
What is Kimber sing? Am I just going to embarrass myself even more?
No, you're here. I'll play it.
This is a different key for sure.
Yes, it certainly is. Oh, this song rocks.
That is literally a half step different than what they sing. So that puts me a fifth off. So that's better. So I was a fifth off, everyone. Okay, chill out. Well, dang.
Wow.
A new record for me.
Dude, seriously, another the relative pitch game is just an opportunity for me to dunk on you.
Honestly, it is.
Well, heck, y'all. That was our episode on Big Brother. Up next, we're doing our freaking episode on Saturday Night Gleaver. That's coming out Wednesday. Yeah. If you guys have thoughts on that episode and you'd like to be in our next mini-sode, you can go ahead and send them to our email, recoveringgleek@gmail.com, or you can send us a voicemail, anchor.fm/recoveringgleek.
Heck yeah. Love you guys. See you here on Wednesday. Have a good Bones Day.
Yeah.
Well, it's Bones Day on Saturday, so honestly, it'll carry over. You'll be fine.
Yeah, you'll be fine. Residual bones.
Yeah.
Love you guys. Here is a mini kiss on your mini forehead if you accept.
Bye.
See you later.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review. And tell your friends, please.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.